As announced, the scripture reading will be from Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. That's Matthew 3, verses 7 through 12, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire."
Good to be with everyone tonight. Hope everyone had a good afternoon. I know what a preacher has to do to get out of work. Just joking. I didn't get someone asked me, "You didn't get anybody to preach for you tonight?" I said, "No, they didn't bite." I'm glad the elders don't take me too seriously. This morning, we were talking about forgetting God. And we emphasized how important it is not to do so. It is a sin, forgetting God, that is very serious. As I said this morning, it is a serious sin because it paves the way for many other sins. And so we want to do all that we can not to follow in the steps of the Israelites who did the very thing that Moses warned them not to do, and that is they forgot God. And as a result of that, they ultimately were forced to go into the land of captivity. God warned them really over and over that they should not go after other gods, but that's the very thing they did because they forgot God. And so this morning, as we looked at the first half of this lesson, we simply looked at some signs that we are forgetting God. We want to make sure that we're not heading in that direction at all. Sometimes people begin to forget God and they don't even realize that other things are beginning to take a higher priority in their lives than God. And God is slowly being dismissed from their minds. And so what are some of the signs that we might be doing that? We looked at three things this morning. Number one, not thinking about God. And as I said this morning, we think of all kinds of things. We have to make sure that God is one that we think about every day. That we think about Him before decisions that we have to make. We think about Him as we just live from day to day, that He and His will is always on our mind. And so if we begin to not do that, we stop thinking about God, then that might be a sign that we're beginning to forget about Him. So we want to be careful about that. We also said that not being thankful to God is a sign that we are forgetting God. And we emphasized this morning, a lot of times we're not thankful because we're too busy giving ourselves credit for things that we ought to really be praising God for. Our wealth and our health and all of that, we really ought to thank God for the things that He has done for us. And one of the things that God is disturbed by is ingratitude. We saw from Romans chapter 1 that the wrath of God would be poured out upon the Gentiles because in part they dismissed Him from their minds and so they were not thankful. We don't want to make that same mistake. We have so much to be thankful for, and we ought to be thanking him every day. And then the last point was that we can allow ourselves to forget God, or at least we can discover that we're heading in that direction by not acknowledging his presence. And so we need to not be like atheists. Remember, atheism has to do with living as if God were not present. That's how the atheist lives his or her life. But again, we've over the years talked about practical atheism, where those who would say with the fruit of their lips that God is real, and we understand that and know that, but then they live from day to day as if he is not present. And we all have to be careful of that. So many things going on in our lives and going on in the world that we can begin again not to acknowledge God in his presence in our life. We said that one of the key aspects of that is obeying God. We show that we acknowledge God by our obedience to him. If you're not obeying God, there's a good chance that you have at least begun to forget God. And so those are a few signs. There are some others probably that you can think of, but we need to be thinking, am I really retaining God in my knowledge? And we need to give that some thought. Well, tonight, just for a few minutes as we wrap this thought up, how do we keep from forgetting God? Since this is such an important thing, since keeping God in our minds, in our hearts, is so important, how do we keep from forgetting God? Again, I would suggest three things to you. Number one, by remembering past mercies. Let's turn back to the text that we were looking at this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 8, and notice, if you would, verses 15 and 16. Deuteronomy chapter 8, in verses 15 and 16, it says about God who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty grounds where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Like, these were things that the Israelites should have never forgotten. These are things that, again, they should have been thankful for. We understand that they were in the wilderness because of their own doing in the first place. If they had more faith, they would have gone into the land of promise without hesitation. But they didn't trust God. They saw the giants over there in the land, and they concluded that they could not, they were not able, they said, to take the land, even though it was a land flowing with milk and honey, just like God said. They didn't trust that he would drive out the inhabitants as he told them he would. And so because of their lack of faith, they ended up in the wilderness. Their own sin caused them to be there. But nevertheless, through their time there, God watched over them. God guided them and protected them. And yet they forgot all about that. And so we need not to make the same mistakes. We need to understand God continues to guide us. We need to remember that God's mercy is great, and he has been merciful to all of us. John 3 and at verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If there was ever a sign of mercy, a demonstration of mercy, it was God sacrificing his son so that you and I could be saved. God is a merciful God. And because of his great mercy that we have experienced, not just when we were saved, but throughout our lives, God has been merciful to us. And we ought to acknowledge that. And when we do, that can help us to avoid forgetting God. Paul talked about the mercy of God in Romans the 15th chapter. Turn your Bible over there. Romans the 12th chapter. And a very familiar verse, verse 1, where Paul writes, this is Romans 12, and at verse 1, Paul writes, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, now watch, by the mercies of God, The word by there could be translated because. I appeal to you, brethren, because of the mercies of God, to present yourself or your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Because of the mercies of God. Paul wanted them to stop and think how merciful God had been to them. And as a result of that, they should give their lives over to Him. And why should it be different for us today? We all need to count our many blessings. We need to stop and consider all that God has done and all that He continues to do, and that should lead us to being faithful to Him. We certainly won't forget about Him if we constantly and consistently remember the mercies of God. I like Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, turn over to that place and listen to what Paul says about it here. Ephesians, the second chapter is what I want. I'm having you turn all over the place, aren't I? Ephesians chapter 2. And I've often looked at this passage and pointed out this. Paul kind of uses the before and after tactic here, and we're all familiar with that. It's a very, very useful tactic. You see people who are trying to sell things on commercials and whatnot. They do it all the time. They show a picture that is just terrible of somebody, probably the worst picture that they could ever take. And then they introduce their product, and they say that the person, whoever it is, has applied the product, and then they show a beautiful picture, the after picture, and it's so much better. And that works pretty good, doesn't it? Even if you know that's what they're doing, you see the beautiful picture, and people say, I want that kind of transformation, before and after, and it works pretty good. Paul kind of uses that here in Ephesians chapter 2. He writes, and you were dead in trespasses in sins. That's the before picture. And all of us could say, yeah, that's where we used to be before the mercies of God touched our lives. We were all dead in trespasses in sins, in which you once walked following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. That's all of us before we obeyed the gospel. But then God came along and rescued us. I love the way verse 4 starts out. It simply says, but God. Like just like the Israelites and why they were in the wilderness. When it comes to us and our previous life and the time when we were dead in trespasses and sins, whose fault was that? It was my fault that I was in that situation. It was your fault. We got ourselves into that mess. But God, He came along. God acted. He sacrificed His only begotten Son so that we can find our way out of that dead state, so that we could be made alive in His Son. And so Paul says, but God, being rich in what? Rich in mercy. That's the mercy of God. He did what He did because He's a merciful God. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. If we would only but think about that every day. Be mindful of our many blessings. Be mindful of how merciful God has been, what a sacrifice He made so that we could have the hope of heaven. We would avoid forgetting God. It's a good way to avoid forgetting God, remembering past mercies. And then, number two, by remembering our dependence upon God. If you turn again back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, it is clear that the Israelites were dependent upon God, only they forgot it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and Again, verse 18, he said, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. We simply need to remember that we need God. God certainly doesn't need us. It's the other way around. And we should remember that every day. We are dependent upon God. Not only were we dependent upon God in his grace to be saved, but we're dependent on him to maintain our salvation. When we forget how dependent upon God we are, that's when we begin to allow him to drift away from our minds, out of our hearts. We need God. Remember that every day. And sometimes, again, just like in the previous point, self gets in the way. We sometimes don't realize how dependent upon God we are because we're too busy depending on ourselves. That's a great mistake. That was the mistake that the Israelites made. They were thinking it was because of their own power they got the wealth that they had. It wasn't the case at all, and it's not the case with us. All the blessings that we have, spiritual and physical, they come from God. James said that every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. We are dependent upon him, but it's easy to forget that. I remember in Luke chapter 8, there's a story there. I don't have time to get into it in detail. Really, it's a sermon within itself. In fact, one day I might preach a sermon on this. It's Luke chapter 8. I think it's verses 22 through 25. And it's a situation where the disciples were caught in a storm. And that happens on a few occasions in the Bible. We all remember the time when they were caught in a storm and Jesus rescued them by walking on water. This is a different situation in Luke chapter 8. This time, Jesus is in the boat with them, but he falls asleep. And one of the things that happens, the Bible tells us that the boat began to fill with water, and so they were afraid, and they were in danger, and then they turn to Jesus, and they wake him up. Jesus questions their faith because of that. But there's something in there that we can miss if we don't think it through. It is clear, if you know anything about those situations, these fishermen, remember, the apostles were fishermen by trade, many of them. Some of them, I should say. But they were fishermen by trade, and so they had been on the Sea of Galilee many, many times before, and it was just a natural thing. It was something that happened often because of the location of the Sea of Galilee and the mountains that surround it. And the wind coming, rushing down into the valley there, that sometimes storms would come up just like that. And I'm sure they were aware of that. And we know that when a boat like that, a fishing boat, was caught in a storm, the water didn't fill up the boat all at once. Sometimes they would, you remember when Jesus walked on water, they were fighting in that situation for hours. They were in the same kind of boat. Maybe the same one. I don't know. But it was the same kind of fishing boat that they were in. And again, the time when Jesus walked on water, we often point out, preaching sermons on that they were in that struggle for at least 4 to 6 hours. It could have been as many as 10 to 12 hours. The text indicates that. In Luke chapter 8, when it says that the boat was filling with water, what I'm trying to point out to you is simply this. That didn't happen just all instantly. They were struggling with that for a while. I saw a sermon on that particular particular text once, and I don't know what the sermon was about, but the title of it caught my attention. It said, put the buckets down and turn to Jesus. And if you understand what was going on there, that's a pretty good title for that text. See, what appears to have happened is Jesus was asleep. They didn't turn to Jesus right away. They were depending on themselves to get themselves out of that situation until finally they realized they weren't going to be able to do it, and they panicked, and then they turned to Jesus in fear. They should have turned to Jesus right away. Before the boat even began to fill up with water, they should have turned to Jesus. But there's that problem of thinking we can solve everything by ourselves. We don't need to turn to our Lord. We don't need to approach God's throne in prayer. When we're having a problem, we'll just take care of it ourselves. And that's always a dangerous way to go. We have a great resource in God whenever we're in trouble. Whenever we need help, we have the most powerful being at all that we can turn to, and he ought to be the one that we turn to first. We need to recognize, we need to remember our dependence on God in all things. And if we do that, we won't forget about him. Like, how can you really rely on God and his power to help you in your life and to guide you through life and forget about him at the same time? You can't do both of those things. And so let's remember how dependent upon God we are. Jesus had something to say about it in John chapter 15. You remember? Listen to what Jesus says. In John, the 15th chapter, about how much we need him. John chapter 15, and beginning at verse 1. John, the 15th chapter, and at verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already are you clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Now notice that. And take note of the fact of how important it is for us to bear fruit. This passage teaches us two things. It teaches us how much we need Jesus. But it also teaches us the importance of bearing fruit. Are you in the business of fruit bearing? If you're not bearing fruit, you're not what God wants you to be. And when you read through this text, you see what a problem that is. He says at verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And I see the importance of fruit bearing. You're a real disciple of Christ. You are bearing fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, you're just like that branch that is withered, good for nothing but firewood. Be thrown into the fire. We have to bear fruit. But Jesus makes it plain, you cannot bear fruit without me. You have to abide in me, and I in you, my words in you. We're dependent upon God. Not just from a physical standpoint. Yes, he takes care of us with his providential care, and we should appreciate that. But spiritually, so far as the salvation of our souls are concerned, we need God, and we need him every day. And we should never forget that. And as long as we remember that, we'll be okay. We won't forget God. So that's a good way to avoid that, to keep from forgetting God. One more thing, and then we'll close. By remembering our future destiny. Remembering our future destiny. That is, if we forget God. Like, what happens if we end up forgetting God? Like we saw in the Gentiles in Romans chapter 1. We'll end up disobeying God. Suppressing the truth, will end up doing things that are immoral, doing things contrary to the will of God, and what's the end result? It's not good. He warned the Israelites of what would happen if they forgot him. Remember, one more time, back over to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and notice again, this time, verse 19. He says, and if you forgot the Lord your God, or if you forget, I'm sorry, the Lord your God, and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. And of course, we know that primarily the hope that the Israelites had was to enter into the promised land. And for them to perish then would be, if they're unfaithful, once God puts them in this land, they would be cast out of the land and be carried off into captivity. And that, of course, is exactly what happened. When we think about perishing from a New Testament standpoint, it's a lot worse than just being taken captivity from a physical standpoint. To perish in the New Testament means to lose your soul. It means to be cast into a devil's hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It means that we'll spend all eternity in a lake of fire, a place of outer darkness, all of those terrible descriptions, what the Bible calls hell. That's what it means to perish. And if we forget God, that's going to be our destiny. You remember what Paul said to the brethren at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Familiar text, but let's go over there and read that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And beginning at verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 1 and at verse 7. It says, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on who? On those who do not know God. As we said this morning, anyone who doesn't know God, it's their own fault. God has given us his word, and there's no reason for us not to know it. God, in fact, has arranged, you remember, for the gospel of Christ to be preached to every creature under heaven. And we know how things turned out with the Gentiles. We talked about it this morning. They ended up being atheistic in their thinking, at least so far as the one true living God is concerned. They believed in false gods, but they didn't believe in the true God. But that wasn't God's fault. That was man's fault. They suppressed the truth. And so everyone, it doesn't matter. You take all the emotionalism out of it and all of the different emotional arguments, and the fact of the matter is, those who know not God are going to be punished. But they're not the only ones. You notice it says that it's not just that those who know not God, but he says those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. That could involve the same group of people. Those who know not God are not going to obey the gospel, but it's not limited to that. We can stop obeying the gospel at any time. Are you obeying the gospel? If you forget about God from a practical standpoint, if you live your lives from day to day without considering God, allow his presence to be in your heart and in your mind as you make decisions and as you behave in this world from day to day, if you forget God and leave him out of the picture, you're not going to obey, you're not going to continue to obey the gospel. And Paul tells us what the end result of that is. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. That's the destiny of those who forget God. You'll be destroyed with eternal destruction. Be punished, rather, with eternal destruction. Don't miss it. Away from the presence of the Lord. What a blessing it is to be in God's presence. to have the Lord in our life. If you perish, you'll be separated from God. You'll be separated from Jesus for all eternity. That means all of the blessings that go along with having a relationship with Christ, you will never experience again. All because you allowed yourself to forget about God in this life. We can avoid that. But we need to stop and think of the consequences of not taking the proper steps to retain God in our knowledge. Forgetting God is a terrible sin. We can't blame God for being upset when man forgets about Him. He is our Creator and our Maker. He blesses all of us. The thing about God is, even today and throughout history, He has blessed both those who believe and trust in Him, and even the atheists from a physical standpoint are blessed by God. I've often said, even those who deny His existence live by the air that He sets forth. And yet some just dismiss Him, suppress the truth, and forget about Him. That angers Him. Let's not do that. Let's remember God. Let's remember Him every day. Let's avoid forgetting God. You're subject to the imitation of Christ. Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. Could it be that somehow you have dismissed God from your mind? You can welcome Him back into your life. He wants to save you even tonight. If you're in an undone condition outside of the ark of safety, Jesus died on the cross for this very situation. So that you, even though you're poor now, you can be made rich spiritually because Jesus was made poor for you. He died on the cross so that you could be saved. Why not take advantage of that? Just hearing a sermon like this isn't going to do it. You have to obey the gospel. Romans 1 at verse 16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It involves repenting and being baptized, Acts 2 and at verse 38. You can do that this very night. You remember God, again, the one who created you, the one who is waiting to bless you richly if you would just obey His word. Maybe you're a child of God and you have allowed Him to drift, maybe not altogether, but He just doesn't occupy the same place in your mind that He has before. Rectify that situation. Repent of any sin that's in your life. Ask God for forgiveness. Acts 8 at verse 22. John said, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. You need to come forward and have the church here pray for you. We're more than glad to do that. And we'll encourage you in any way that we can. But get your life right with God. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.